Okay, so welcome to Tanya Wide Open at G4. We're in the beginning of Adar. Last week we kind of, my plan was to go through chapter 7, and we kind of unwittingly went through chapter 7 in Tanya. We started in a different place, and by the end of the hour or so discussion, I realized we had just basically spoken out chapter 7, Bashkacha. There was one thing that we didn't speak about that I wanted to kind of bring home. So we'll start now in chapter 7 and we'll see what happens, but maybe we'll broach chapter 8 also. So chapter 7, the Rebbe is speaking about, he's talking about the avoider of raising up this world, yeah? Talking about things that are permissible that we're involved in, and lifting up the things of this world back to Hashem. But he says something really interesting, because, like, when we're talking about lifting up the world, you would think, okay, an esrog, tefillin, the table, the sefer, yeah, all of that stuff is taking the material of this world and bringing it up to Hashem, yeah? As we've learned in any basic Hashkafa Shirim, yeah? But he goes in a different route, and he says that the, for example, he just explained what I was talking about lifting stuff. He says, for example, Ha'icha Bisvus Shmeina, the Sora, the, fatty meat from a ox, yeah, Ushay Siyam Avusam, and drinks spiced wine, to open up his mind to Hashem and his Torah. Or to be mekayim the mitzvah of oinik Shabbos, the yontov. Then he separates out, so to speak, selects the energy, the chias of the bus and the yain, the life force of that, of the flesh and of the wine. Shahai nishba meklipas noiga, that was permissible, so it was coming from what we said was called klipas noiga. V'oile l'Hashem ka'oile ka'korban. And it goes up to Hashem like an oile, which is a type of korban, a burnt offering, completely burnt, and a korban, which is like the klali term for all korbanos, which is korbanos that are basically eaten by the oile is not eaten bichlal, yeah? Just the whole thing's burnt up. Whereas a korban, minastam, although korbanos is all of korban, including oilers, but a korban here is referring to the korbanos that we eat from. And then it says, and as the idea of saying some kind of funny thing, you know, rabbis start with a joke. I don't do that usually, only just like not very good. Don't have so many jokes at hand, but that's from the Gemara. Start with a joke, and that opens up people's minds, etc. So you hear it's a little strange. Like, why didn't he? Because he talks later on about the idea of lifting up the physicality of the world, but he brought like out of the, it wasn't like, why don't you talk about the busa of the flesh of the esrog, or the leather of the tefillin. That's like the standard thing we talk about, yeah? Yeah? What he's talking about here is pleasure, which is the ikka korban that we give to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. See, there's a reframe, I'm sure I've said this, but there's a reframe. Instead of talking about saying that something gives you pleasure, the reframe that really gets it into perspective is not that something gives you pleasure, it's that something touches your pleasure. That to understand that really helps you work out reality, yeah? It's not like you eat a piece of chocolate and there's pleasure in the chocolate. Yeah, the essence of who you are is called pleasure. The very essence of who you are, whether you want to talk about your animal soul, your godly soul. Let's just talk about your humanity, yeah, as a human, not as a godly being, yeah, not as a Jew, but as a human being. The essence of what you are, or who you are, is called oineg. From that is mispashet. What's the next level of oineg?
Ratzon.
Yes, kol hakavod. So oineg and ratzon are like inseparable. Pleasure and will. The pleasure is what drives will. If you want something, yeah, that's because there's some kind of pleasure in it, or the avoidance of the anti-pleasure, which would be called pain. Yeah, it's the same thing. So ratzon and pleasure are almost inseparable. Yeah, when you get very technical, we can talk about them separately. But they're one is the inner and one is the outer. It's like in Kabbalah, that's talking about like Atik Yomin and Arich Ampin. And we don't, so infrequently we discuss Atik. Yeah, we talk about Arich all the time. But that's in Chabad, that would be called Ratzon. Yeah, not just Chabad, that's how it filters down the Maisa. Yeah? So you don't need to talk about the motivating inner essence unless you want to get very granular and you're trying to discuss a very specific topic, because it manifests as Ratzon. So the foundation of who you are, the essence of who you are, is called Oineg. That immediately becomes manifest as Ratzon, okay? That's just energy. Ratzon is just energy. Then that gets, let's see if you can fill in the word here. Ratzon gets blank by seichel or moichin or intellect. Ratzon gets blank by seichel.
Figured out.
There's process. Process.
Yeah.
Clarified.
Better. There's a better word.
Unpackaged.
No.
Assessed. Like how to go about it. Organized.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was thinking say masuda. It gets. Wait, what's is it organized?
Clarified.
No, how would you translate Seder?
Order.
Yeah, it gets ordered. Organized. It gets ordered. Ratzon is just power, just energy. So you like think, I really want something, yeah? Or I really love. If you really love something, that isn't Ratzon. That's Ratzon enclosed in the movement towards. That's called love. If you're really repulsed by something or hate something or scared of something, that's Ratzon enclosed in the direction of fear, of Yira, which is away. So you say, I want something, yet if you really want to be careful and understand the system really clearly, you have to be careful with using the word want, because a lot of time we use that as, it's not really, not really talking about Ratzon. Ratzon is just energy. It's not, it's like chashmal. What's chashmal? Chashmal is just dangerous. Yeah, you have to channel it through either a mazgan or through a tanur or through a light or whatever it is. Yeah, now that's called ordering that energy. But what is it by itself?
Energy.
It's just energy. It's not too. So when you say, I really want something, what you're really talking about, what you're saying is that's your ratzon being filtered through your midah of ahava, of love.
And can it only be filtered through, at least initially, between ahava and yira, and then everything else? It always starts with ahava and yira?
There is only ahava and yira. Everything else is just it's important. That's an important point. Oh, Shamyol. That's a very important point. Where did I see it today? Because I'm going through the internet, I'm going through YouTube now, like ridiculously, to try and get all these videos for this, for the Blessed Life thing, and I'm watching so much still. And one of the things I saw on Tony Robbins, one woman starts talking about her emotions, and she starts talking about joy, and pain, and fear, and love, and I can't remember the other, but she said loads of stuff, yeah? And I'm listening to her, that's like kind of conventional and normal, people would say that. But the way I've understood it in Yiddishkeit, the way that I learned it from Reb Manis, is that there's only two emotions. They're called Ahava and Yira. Ahava we translate as love, Okay, but Sikha Salev.
Sikha Salev.
No.
No,
it's Simcha.
Oh, that's
Simcha. That, so I'll try and put it into, this should really be like, drawn out properly. And it will, this will, you won't, I'm assuming you're not going to remember this, but it's worth just hearing how it looks. Is that you have, the emotions are just Ava and Yira, yeah? Ava is translated as love, like always, basically. And Yira is translated as fear, but it's also respect and awe, yeah. So, but basically all that is just a movement towards or a movement away. It's so simple. Emotions are simple. That's why they're called in English emotion. I don't know what the E's about, but the motion bit I understand, yeah? It's either taking you to something, and I think even more accurately, love is not about taking you to something. This is a real like diuk. Love is actually about bringing it into you. And that's the symbol of a kiss. If you think, what is a kiss is just a little suck. That's what a kiss is. So the symbolism of that is you're bringing it into you, not that you're moving towards it. And that's a diuk. That's a very
because dumb. With Euro, with Hashem, it's separating. It's like moving away from ourselves to God. Like, what's the movement away? With Yira vis-a-vis.
So Yira would be you moving yourself away. Because the Inyan of Yira is the Inyan of Cutness. Yira in a relationship means I'm giving my wife space. Now, that doesn't mean that you'd go out the room and lock the door, yeah? But giving your wife space would mean, this is a great example, is that the mazgan is on, yeah, you're hot, and she's cold, as is the case, and you go and turn off the mazgan. Basically, there's not really much that I know of in a relationship between a man and a wife that's more helpful than that. Yeah, buying your wife a yacht is not worth even a fraction of turning off the mazgan when she's cold and you're hot. That's like. There's lots of ops and stuff like that. Basically, what you're saying to your wife when you do that is that you exist. In fact, I'm so aware of your existence, it's more to me than my own existence. Whereas you buy her a yacht for $50 million, yeah, and you get that's a big geschmack. You buy someone a mamasha yacht, forget that you're going to go in it as well. But that there's some kind of oineg in giving someone a gift, yeah? Mamash. A normal person at least, yeah? Whereas by withholding yourself, there's intrinsically no pleasure in that whatsoever. So what you're really doing is you're setting the foundation for the relationship by saying to your wife, you are real to me. And the real goal of the relationship is to be able to say to her with your hand on your heart, you are more real to me than I am to myself. If you can say that, if you get there, then you just won. That's Shalom Bias. Imagine. We should all be Zoche Bezrat Hashem. At least we can know about these ideas. So fear, when we say giving her space, in that sense means I appreciate that you're real. And therefore, I'm not going to take away from you. So that's conceptually like moving away. You understand? So that's why all relationships are primarily based on fear, on Yira. And then the Ava is once the because if your wife doesn't feel that she exists in your world, then all the flowers and all the yachts, that just annoys her. Because she just thinks this is your own geschmack. So it's really is the foundation of a relationship is Yira, is this idea of I really appreciate that you exist. Like you say you're going to be home at a certain time, yeah? And you would make it for a meeting for one of your clients or whatever it is. But your wife is like, okay, I said like 7:30, 7:45, 8:00, 8:30, 9:00, you know, we're right, should be okay. Yeah, that's not how it works. Bichlal. When you turn up 15 minutes later when you said that you're going to turn up, we'll talk about this in the and live life, yeah? But when you turn up 15 minutes later than when you said, you're subconsciously, is that the right word?
Subliminally.
Subliminally, thank you. Saying to her, you don't exist as much as I do. In my life, I'm more real to me than you are to me. That needs to be the avoider of marriage is to get to the opposite of that. Anyway, so we've got the two relationships basically, the two emotions are drawing close and pushing away. That's called Ahava and Yira. Simcha is not an emotion, according to the system we're learning. Simcha is what you said, is psichas alev. Simcha is the prerequisite for all emotion. There can't be emotion without simcha. Simcha means that the heart is open and the system is flowing. The opposite of psichas alev, simcha is timtum alev, where there is no emotion. That's the definition, by the way, what I've learned from my masoya of depression is that depression is not an emotion. So if depression is not emotion, what is depression?
Lack of emotion.
Yeah. Depression is a vacuum. Depression is a lack of emotion. That's why it's linked to laziness. Atzvus and atzlus are connected to each other because, in a sense, atzvus, depression, is a kind of laziness to experience emotion. In a sense, that's not like fair to say that to people, but that's how it's grouped. Alpi Kabbalah, Alpi Tanya. Atzvus and atzlus are grouped together.
They're called repressed anger.
Repressed
anger.
So that's not depression.
No, but I'm saying you can, right?
No. So anger, amazingly,
I've heard that.
Maybe anger is also not an emotion in Tanya. You know what anger is? What is it if it's not an emotion? This is a game changer.
I deserve.
Yeah. What is that? Yeah, you're right. What? Why? What is anger?
It's giving it to your pleasure.
Anger is a pleasure, not an emotion. Modic, like eating chocolate. Eating chocolate is not a pleasure.
No, no, no.
Eating chocolate is not an emotion. I'm feeling right now that I'm eating chocolate. That's... Anger is a pleasure, not an emotion. That's an amazing idea. That really is. That's a big 180 to like the rest of the world.
They call it a release.
It's mamshich and you get more angry. The more an angry guy gets angrier and angrier as they get older. You see, like a lot of old people are just angry people. If you let go of your anger, if you don't, I mean, all anger is also a bad reframe. Just means that you've confused yourself for Hashem, and you think that what you want really actually makes a difference. That's all anger is. So you just need to work on that to realize that you're not the center of the universe, and who cares what you want? It's just irrelevant. Mamash couldn't be any less relevant.
What is righteous anger then?
To call that what's a kina, like to be a kanoi. Yeah. So that's a dangerous question, because it depends if the guy's worked out. A lot of kanois, maybe all of the kanois that I've ever encountered, is just selfish, self-indulgence. To be a real kanoi like Pinchas, I don't know if I've ever seen such a thing. to be genuinely burning, like to be like burning with anger because someone's like going against reality.
Well, like this anger, people confuse anger, this righteous emotion, but really it's just a pleasure that they're getting and it suits them and their world.
That's the point. That's exactly, that's the point.
It's just their self-indulgence and their self-pleasure that they get to, you know,
the story of Rabbi Chaim, where a guy was a kanoi in his office, and he's a non-religious Jew. I don't know, whatever it was. This kanoi was yelling at this guy. He was being upset. So Rabbi Chaim says, not like that. So the guy says, yeah, but you're a big kanoi yourself. You're Because, yeah, but I don't want the person to be doing that. You want more people like that so you can yell at somebody.
Yeah. That's one of the things I saw. I heard, this was years ago now, online there are two rabbis who are like fire against Rav Manis Friedman. And people probably know if saying, I'm not going to want to mention their names, whatever. So when I first heard, this was a very important thing for me because I bumped into one of these guys a couple, 2-3 years ago, I don't remember. And I've been like dovet to Rav Manis for, you know, 15 years. I've listened to him for thousands of hours. Everything that I know. I'm a Talmud Muvak of Rav Manis Friedman. I don't think many people can say they're a Talmud Muvak of someone. I really am a Talmud Muvak of Rav Manis Friedman. Everything is from Rav Manis. And I bump into these guys online. One of them said Yemach Shemoy about him. I was like... And they were... I couldn't believe it. And listening to them being mavazah him, like it was, and I started to cry. But not because of the gnoy to Rav Manis. I was crying, when I checked myself, I was crying because I was choshish that I've wasted 15 years of my life and he's a Rasha and I have to go and redo everything. I really know I feel that. So I got to work. And I started listening to these guys to make a decision. I only realized later how healthy a thing that was to have done. Because usually what would happen in that situation is like we've been talking about with paradigms, yeah? Is to be able to break a paradigm, a pre-existing paradigm, is usually most people don't do that. You just go against whatever's trying to cause you discomfort. So this was good to see that I did this. And so I started researching, listening to these guys speaking, and there were lots of giveaways, lots of things that they said that just showed me that they were really shakurim in Klipa. And one of the things that, there was a lot of them, but one of the big things was that when they would talk about his rishus, you could see their simcha. They were like enjoying it. That shows you that that's not real. If a Yid sees a Yid doing something wrong, yeah, and he's angry about that, that's coming from a broken place inside of him.
It justifies their judgment. They live off that. It justifies their judgment. They live off that.
You send these bad guys. Yeah, it's just, again, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. That's a pleasure. Yeah. Now, just to touch on what you said, you said that they were involved in their pleasure. What was the loss you used?
Well, they're thinking they're being Laman Hashem, and they're just getting a high off of it.
Why do they want the pleasure?
What?
Why do they want pleasure?
Why do they want pleasure? Because they're full of themselves. They like themselves. They're
so why do they want pleasure?
Reality is more
is a kinah
bigger than.
Why do they want pleasure? Because they're alive.
So
it's a kinah.
There's a kinah there.
That's coming from a pleasure. The whole point is pleasure. They're getting angry for the pleasure of it, yeah? What is that? And if you understand this, you understand everything.
They get covered from that.
But
a pleasure.
That pleasure can only be driven by lack of self-esteem, self-worth.
What you just said is exact, in like, not in the language I was going to say it, you almost nailed it 100%. Is that... Descartes said, he didn't really say this because he spoke in French, and I don't think he meant this, but everyone says that he said, yeah, I think, therefore I am. Yeah, that he...
Cagito ergo sum.
What?
Cagito ergo sum.
That's what he said?
That's what he
said. Yeah, that didn't sound so
French. That's what it means.
Yeah. But I'm not sure if it means to think, whatever.
Cagito, people... like cognition.
So that's more like it, yeah, I'm conscious, therefore. That makes more sense. The idea, I think, therefore I am, is a bit silly. I'm sure he didn't say that. But I think after everything that I've learned, the correct way of saying it, and I think you'll agree with me, is to say it, I'm experiencing pleasure, therefore I am. That's what's driving pleasure. The drive of pleasure is to be. you're never being as much as when you're having pleasure. You with me? Like, you really, you can't...
I mean, it's your love song for life.
Like, it activates the sensation of life.
Exactly. That's the point. That's why we're plutzing for pleasure. Our lower side is plutzing for pleasure because our lower side is scared stiff of dying because it's mortal and it's so aware of the fact that it's not going to be here forever, yeah? Every bayat in your life, everything that you do wrong, everything that you hate about yourself is because you're scared of death. When you boil it down to the bare, the mamash, you boil it down to the essence of the problem is it's a fear of dying, it's a fear of not being, it's a fear of ending. Tony Robbins, I saw this week, he called it the fear of not being enough. You could call it millions of different things, lots and lots of different things. He said in his, you know, the way he always chaps in that he's, you know, worked in 187 different countries and he's met, every time he talks, he mentions how fantastic he is. I love it. Because he really is like amazing. Yeah, but he makes sure that you know it every single time.
And this is what a tzaddik gomer doesn't have. This is what a tzaddik as opposed to a benoni doesn't have. Doesn't have this fear of dying. Doesn't have this.
The tzaddik gomer. The difference, remember, the difference between the tzaddik gomer and the tzaddik she'eino gomer is that that is on the pleasure of their animal soul. The tzaddik, you could look at it like this. From the Russia of Araloi until the tzaddik she'eino gomer, yeah, they are all human beings. The tzaddik gamor has kind of like...
transcended.
Yeah, well, not shattered. Progressed, what's the word? Graduated.
From humanness.
He's not... it's really a doichuk to call him a human being anymore. It really is a doichuk. That's you know, that's Moshe, you know, that's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Atana Elokai, they call him Elokai. Tana Elokai says by Moshe, he was from his waist down, he was Ben Adam, and from his waist up, he was Elokus. He says all kinds of crazy things in Sfarim about men who have maybe women as well, but about men who have ascended to the level of Tzaddik Gamor, where what happens that means is that the Oineg in their Nefesh Bahamis has been. Mishapich. I don't know how you would say that.
Does that mean they don't even have Oineg and Ruchnias? Because that is their dad also is a shtickle.
That's Oineg Shabbos.
So.
It's nothing to do with them.
Yeah, that's probably the best way of saying it. This guy who, you know, people would say that the Lubavitch Rebbe was at that Madrego and Rabbi Nachman was at that Madrego and everyone has their own tzaddikim. I'm sure everyone... regular tzaddikim are probably Beinoinim that we meet, yeah, who have inner drive to do bad stuff but just behave really, really well. So the Tzaddik She'eino Gamor, he's the guy whose emotions are completely in line with Hashem. Anything that is not in line with Halakha, with Ratzon Hashem, he finds disgusting and repulsive. He wouldn't be able to eat a treif sandwich. He couldn't do it. Not like the Beinoni, who's like, that looks really nice, but I'm not going to eat that. And even the Beinoni couldn't eat it, but not because it's repulsive to him. He couldn't eat it because of other factors. Maybe he's Yiras Shamayim, yeah? Or he's aware that God's looking, yeah? So he still couldn't eat it, but not because of an internal... You with me?
Version.
Yeah, like I'll tell you, to give a funny example to get this in perspective, I'll give you an example. If you walk past, you're in your house, and you walk past there's the washing bin, yeah? The laundry basket. And then you've got like your four-year-old's underpants on the floor, not in the basket. So the rusher just walks past. The tzaddik, as he walks past, he effortlessly bends down without any thought.
He's having such a good time.
He, without any...
What are the Euro underwear?
Yeah, well, that's already a Madrega. So the tzaddik is so in line with his wife, using the wife as the mashal, as Hashem. He's so in tune, as he walks past, he just effortlessly, without thinking, bends down, picks them up and puts them in the laundry basket. He's tuned with his wife, yeah? That's his wife's Watson. His wife's Watson is, I don't want these underpants on the floor here. So the Russia doesn't care, because she's not real, and I'm real, and I can't be bothered to do that right now, so I'm more real than you, so the pants stay there, yeah? The tzaddik, yeah, the guy who's really aligned with his wife, he effortlessly, naturally bends down and puts them in the basket. What does the Benoni do?
Just put his foot. Kicks a little closer to the basket with his foot.
Cause the kid to pick it up.
Yeah, why? For example, it could be in many things. This is what happens to me. I see it. I walk past, and I think, if I saw my kid walk past, I would tell them to pick it up and put it in the laundry. So I go down and I pick it up. So is that something about me that's making me put the pants in the laundry? Or it's something external to me? I'm saying this is a very important idea.
External.
Exactly, that's the point. It's external. It's not me. Or it could be like that's just an example that's relevant to me. Or it could be you would walk past and you think, oh, I will get brownie points with my wife if I put these in the laundry. Again, that's something external. You are not aligned with your wife. Kolzman, you walk past those pants and you have to do a double take to then pick them up because of some kind of thought. That's called a Benoni. And don't get me wrong, that's a fantastic Madrega. That's amazing. That's really, in many ways, it's even more amazing than the Tzaddik. It really is. I'm just trying to draw out the distinction between the Tzaddik and the Benoni. The Benoni only behaves correctly. He never does an Aveira, he always does the mitzvah. Why? Well, the most obvious reason is, well, how can you do an Aveira when Hashem's like standing there watching you? It's like when you tell your kid, you know, you're on your computer in your house doing something, you need to go to the bathroom. And you say to your kid, I'm sorry about all these like bathroom analogies, sorry. But you say to your kid, don't touch the computer.
Put it on
yeah?
your box.
You say to your kid, don't touch the computer. Kolzman, you're sitting in front of the computer, of course he's not going to, but the minute you go out of the room, there's a good chance he'll mess with it, yeah? So the Benoni is like, well, Hashem's always looking. I could appreciate that this would actually taste good, or I'd like to see this, or I'd like to do that, yeah? I see the pleasure in it. I see that this would touch my pleasure. That's what he says. But so what?
That seems to imply that the Benoni is only living in Europe. The Lashon you used was Simson, right? Like that can the Benoni live in Ava?
That's the Avadai, but the right. Foundation of the relationship is that idea that Hashem is more real to me than I am to myself. That's the foundation of any relationship. That the other, in this case Hashem, is more real to me. Now, what's going to motivate you to actually do the positive mitzvahs, which is what builds the... That's the love. Meaning the power, the energy to not go against Ratzon Hashem is predicated on Yira. The energy necessary to perform a mitzvah, is a very important point, is not in a rote kind of way, which Yira would do. The energy of Yira could do a mitzvah, to do a positive mitzvah in a kind of get it done kind of fashion, yeah? But to really go into the mitzvah, that takes Ava.
Right.
So it's like the difference in...
The being you can access that.
100%, and he's high of 100%. It'd be like going to the flower shop.
Well, if he picks up the underwear because he knows it'll bring him closer to his wife, then that's Ava. It's just external to him. It's not something
that should be upset if I don't.
It's something that, right.
That, yeah. Whereas a man who's genuinely aligned with his wife, and this is really the avoider of marriage, and this is just the microcosm of the big picture, is a man who's genuinely aligned with his wife... He takes out the rubbish, the trash, whatever you call it. He takes out the trash, not thinking I'm doing something nice for my wife now. He's just, there's not really a way to say it. It's
Our leg hurts.
It's an experience of your wife. It really is.
Why not for your wife though? Because it needs to be done. It stinks. It shouldn't be there.
Yeah, okay, fine. So that
it shouldn't be on the floor. You put it in the laundry. It shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I agree with you. So you know that your wife, it drives her nuts when the trash is overflowing. Yeah, maybe it drives you more nuts. So this wouldn't apply to you. Yeah. So you're okay. But you understand the idea, yeah? It depends on who takes what roles in the house, yeah? But I just, you know, taking the trash out is usually the man's job, so I'm just giving that as an example. But when or doing the washing up, yeah? When there's a bunch of washing up to be done and you're in a real relationship with your wife, the washing up dissolves. There is no washing up. There's just an experience of the rotten of your wife. Do you realize it's so funny because... What's more your wife, her goof or her rotson?
Rotson.
Vadai, what's the question? You saw, I mean, how do you see that? You saw that from October 7th with all these Rishoyim and Meshiganers. They were prepared to give up their life because of their rotson. Rotson is much more the person than the goof. The goof is, you know, you can imagine one day they'll be able to, you know, transplant a brain into somebody else and moving a shama from one goof to another, whatever it is, yeah. I don't know if you could do that, but the goof is so distant compared to the rotson. So where are you closer? You're closer to your wife when you're hugging her, yeah, assuming that she's not really into the hug, or when you go and do the washing up, you do the dishes. It's not even comparable, Bichlal. If her rotson is that she needs a hug and you're doing the dishes, then her rotson's in another place. That's the relationship, chasing her rotson. You with me? It's just very obvious. So when we're doing the manual chores in the house, they're not manual chores in the house. They're your wife. There's not really a way of saying it. And that's, you know, that's just the moshul for Torah. That's exactly what Torah is. That's the in of tzadik be'emana. So yichya. The tzaddik has the Or Chaim speaks about it. Why I was going to say it's a Yom Mitzvah. I'll say it now. Is why is he called a Bar Mitzvah? Why don't you call him a Bar Mitzvah voice? 630 mitzvahs. Why'd you call him the son of a mitzvah?
It's all one.
There's just God. Okay, in this situation, I need to put on tefillin. In this situation, I need to not look at that person. In this situation, I need to give tzedakah. In this situation, I need to make sure that I make a separation between meat and milk. And I think you can say we said this, but that's the inyan. This is not a nice thing to say, but it brings the idea that, is that the Rishayim and Male Mitzvahs Karimon. We said this, remember? Why Male Mitzvahs Karimon? And that Rabbi Meir was Oichel, the Torah from Acher, like a Rimon, and he threw away the Klipa. Because within the Rasha, who's a fragmented person, the mitzvahs are all fragmented like a rimon. There's this mitzvah, that mitzvah, this mitzvah, that mitzvah. He's got 613 things to deal with. Whereas the tzaddik is tzaddik mei menasa yichya. There's not 613 mitzvahs, it's just my own cute little thing, is if you add 6 and 1 and 3 together, is you get 10, and then you add 1 and 0 together, you get 1. Yeah, it's just cute. But that's really what it is. All the mitzvahs, 613, are all offshoots of the 10 of the Aseret HaDibros. The Aseret HaDibros are an offshoot of Anoichi and Loyiyah. And Loyiyah is really an offshoot of Anoichi, so all you have is Anoichi, and what's the first letter of Anoichi is Aleph, and that's it. And Aleph is Alufa Shel Olam. Aleph is the Yud and the Vav and the Yud, which is 26, and it's silent, and it manifests every sound, and it's the first, and it's one, and on and on and on. Aleph is Hashem. So that's the world of the tzaddik. The world of the tzaddik is, there's just one. There's just, and that's how it should be with your relationship with your wife. I'm not even going to say lahavdil.
I just want to point out that Hashem gave a whole manual for his ratzon.
Yeah.
The Torah.
Yeah.
Our wives don't give us a manual. To figure out the ratzon is you be running around. So it's not.
That's the difference between the wife. Oh, I hear what you're saying.
At pretty much at every moment, you know what Hashem's rotzon is.
But after a few years, you start to chop.
But the problem is that with the Hashem's rotzon, I have no idea. There's no.
I enjoy it very much.
Say again. Look, after a few years, I've only been married for 20 years, yeah, and I'm starting to chap a little bit. I can see how, give me another 10, 15, 20 years and I'll start getting good at it, yeah? But that's the goal. And that's, by the way, the inyan, that is what it means, a chassid. What does that mean, to be lifnim mishur sedin? I always heard that lifnim mishur sedin just means do more than what you're told to do, yeah? It's bichlal, not what it means. Bichlal, read the Ramchal. He says, unless you didn't say that, bichlal. The inyan of lifnim mishur sedin means you put that. This is why an Amar Oretz can't be a chassid. Why can't an Amar Oretz be a chassid? It's because you need to know a bunch of halacha, but you'll start seeing patterns. When you start seeing a broad picture of halacha, you'll start to see patterns of what Hashem cares about. You with me? You start to understand that He really doesn't like you impinging upon anyone. He just doesn't like that. You see that in so many halachas. And, you know, read Rashi's in the Chumash and you'll see it over and over again. Funny little things. And if you're astute, you start picking up on like, and you start realizing that Hashem doesn't like you to mess with anyone. He doesn't like you to detract from someone, yeah? So for me, and I've said this many times, I mean, I can't tell you the oneg I get in turning my telephone on silent on a Friday afternoon in the mikveh when I go to the ball. That's mamash midas chasidus. Because I know that in my mikveh, you've got the room where you get unchanged upstairs and you have to walk down and go to the bore with the showers and stuff, yeah? And you're away from your clothes while you're taking a mikveh, and I know many times that I've been standing in that room and someone's annoying, you know, thing, phone is going off with some stupid annoying noise. It's annoying. So Midas Chassidus says, I'm not going to take, I don't want to put someone through, you know, 45 seconds of whatever it is. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because Rabbi Nishalim, you don't want me, you that's choshev to you. Show me in Shulchan Aruch where it shows you have to turn off your phone when you go to the ball. Yeah, of course it's not. That's Midas Chassidus. But then,
what was that?
But then there's another level that I learned about recently. Oh, Shalom Aleichem. The Hashem taught me in such a profound way. I had a son, a few sons. One of them told me that he did something for someone, and he said to me, he said, Abba, I want to give you some nachas. And he told me a really nice thing that he did for someone. And it was lovely, yeah? I had another son who, and I don't want to take away from that, by the way. I am going to take away from that, but I don't want to take away from it because I'm just going to talk about a higher madriga. But that's mamash a madriga. To do something for your tati, to give him nachas, is an amazing thing, okay? But there's a higher madriga where another of my sons, he raised a bunch of money. It's only 20,000 shekel for one of his rebbe's yeshiva who's broke, who's making a chasna. And I didn't even know about it. It came out, like, it was as an agav. It wasn't to give me nachas. It was just because he was good. He's become good. And I cried. I pashut cried when I found out what he had done. That my experience, compared to my son, who said, Abba, I want to give you nachas, compared to my son, who was just doing goodness for the sake of goodness, you know what I'm saying? Mamash, incomparable. From my perspective as a father. So where we're trying to get to, the Midas Chassidus, although I'm enjoying it right now, when I turn the phone off, I'm like a big tzaddik, and I think about how choshev and heilig I am, that I don't want to impinge upon anyone. I'm looking at Hashem going, this one's for you, yeah? Yeah, Hashem's like going, okay, thank you. Yeah, whereas when that actually just becomes who I am, then Hashem's like, and it's so funny, it's ironic, because it's like you've forgotten about Hashem in that case. You hear the irony of it. You're not thinking about Hashem. You've just become good.
It's like the architect who goes to the bathroom on the project. It's not easy. You were saying, guys working on a big project, writing a building a building, right?
Yeah.
When he goes to the bathroom, it's not like it's all for the project.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe a little bit different. I'm not sure. But we're just talking about, you want your children to be good. You just want your children to be kind, yeah? Like, there's nothing worse than seeing your children not being kind. I dealt with that this week. It was horrible. In fact, the same kids that I've been talking about here, I saw them do something horrible, and it destroyed me. So, welcome to life. Welcome to life. The one who raised the money was videoing the one who wanted to give me nachas doing something horrible. And I saw the video, and it broke my heart. So just, welcome to life. But what you want is you want your children to be good. You want your children to be good. You just want your children, not good as in good behavior. You want them to be good. You want another story of one of my sons, one of my younger sons, when we waited for, I went to meet Rav Manis for the first time ever. This was a few months ago, about 6 months ago. Went to the Old City. He was doing a whole thing there. And we walked all the way. It was boiling hot. It was like June, I think. It was much boiling hot. And I was dripping with sweat. And we'd been waiting for about 3 or 4 hours, yeah? And he didn't show up. And, okay, fine. But we're sitting in a place in the Old City where the shul, you have to like go up some stairs. I'm sitting there with my son Yochanan. At the time, it was 11, I think, or at 10 or 11. And a woman walks in with a stroller who wants to go up the stairs. He didn't. He just got up and helped to take the stroller up the stairs. There was no thinking. There was no self-consciousness. There was just goodness. You know what I'm saying? No, look what I'm doing. Not in a way like, oh, look at me, look, I'm a good... Not even like conscious of his goodness. He just became good. You hear what I'm saying? So it's like, that's a madrega beyond kavana. That's a madrega beyond I'm doing this for Hashem. I'm doing this for Hashem. Well, you've become good. Why did you become good? Because Hashem wants you to become good. And you've been learning his Torah. And it's eventually been mamash seeping into the essence of who you are.
See that as like... Hashem is really helping that lady with the stroller.
Biduk.
It's not me helping the lady for Hashem.
That's called Misaneg al Hashem.
It's Hashem is helping the lady with the stroller.
That's a Kiddush Hashem.
I'm helping Hashem help the lady with the stroller.
Hashem's using you.
So but that's Hashem even the point. It's Hashem doing it.
That's called Misaneg al Hashem. That's the Misaneg al Hashem. What does that mean? So I always learn that Misaneg al Hashem means like this, yeah? Your eyes are closed and you need payers, really. It's bedieved without payers, yeah? The payers have to be like this, yeah? If you can sweat as well, and then like you open your eyes with your white eyes white, yeah? And if you can jiggle and stuff like that, all that. That was Misaneg al Hashem, no?
I almost did that the other day.
I can still see the pupils.
I didn't do the jiggle.
When the V went into that, that's how they were. That was called
Nevuah. Right. They were overwhelmed. That's not Misaneg al Hashem. That's what we're trying to pretend we're doing. Yeah.
that's not Misaneg al Hashem, and
it's exactly on what we're talking about, yeah. We just learn what's Oineg. Oineg is what motivates you, your humanity, yeah? Let's talk about you being a human being. You're motivated by your Oineg, by your pleasure. So what about if you're doing something for someone else? Mamash. Not you're doing it for them because, like what Mr. Robbins says, that I actually printed it out because it's so gewaldic, that I actually printed it out and stuck it in my Tanya. Yeah? Only those who have learned the power of sincere and selfless contribution experience life's deepest joy, true fulfillment.
But that's also for yourself then.
That's the point. That's why I printed out for it. That's the ultimate level of elevation that is still human. Right. I want to add value to the world. I want to help the world. I want the world to be absolutely fantastic. Yeah, why? Well, because that will fulfill me. That's the high... Halavai, we would all be at that madriga, yeah? Hmm?
That's the best.
He's making a name for himself.
Yeah, it's already a more kind of prost way of saying it. He wants the fulfillment. That's what the Tanya says is the definition of a human being. Is you that means that's when he calls him Kulura. He says that human beings are kulura. Why? Because he says that if you dig down deep enough, you'll find a nakuda and tsi of why are you doing this?
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
He's really ultimately just doing it to have his name great. And like you said, it's fear, really it's just fear of death. So he's going to...
This is the point. This is exactly the point.
And then he'll have, I did this for the world.
So that's yeah? called, if that, what he's doing is something for Hashem, yeah, which it could be, that's not called being Mis'aneg al Hashem. Mis'aneg al Hashem means that he's doing his mitzvah through you. You're just the keli. You're just an empty vessel, and it's he's motivating you. Like I've said this before, you probably forgot, I'll say it again. A very good example of this I had was with my daughter, Dina, who I was going to daven, and you have to remember this, I got in trouble for this, because I actually enjoy davening, because I've been investing so much time into it over the past few years, and it's available, the pleasure of davening is available to everyone. You don't need to go to seminars, you don't need to even learn that much about it, you just need to invest the energy in it that it deserves, and it will start to become a pleasure. Anyway, but that's an important point, is that I actually enjoy davening, and I was leaving early in the morning to go and daven. I have to take a bunch of guys as well that I go to my minyan that I go to, and I get a phone call from my daughter who was up, and she's like, oh, but I really don't feel well, I've got like a bad tummy ache or whatever, and I said, do you want me to come? I can't remember if I said, do you want me to come back? Whatever it is. What happened was, as I was getting in the car to go and daven, to do something that I wanted to do, yeah, my daughter tells me that she needs me to be there with her. Now, there's a steerer. There's a steer between my daughter and me. I want to go and daven. My daughter needs her pleasure. My pleasure is davening. And her pleasure is that Abba's sitting next to me when I don't feel well. Yeah, that's a real steerer. What happened? As I opened the door, I immediately closed the door and I walked back to my house and sat with her without thinking I'm going to be a good Abba. It wasn't a thought of me being a good Abba. I'm doing the right thing now. What happened conceptually? Her oineg, and don't think that her oineg is in her. She's in her oineg. Oineg is not locatable. It's not in a location. What happened conceptually is that her oineg, overwhelmed my entire system. So her oineg replaced, overwhelmed, trumped, whatever you want to say, trumped my oineg, and I effortlessly walked back upstairs to her bedroom to sit next to her. Who did that? Conceptually, she walked up the stairs in my goof and sat next to her in the bed in my goof. You hear what I'm saying? That's Miss Aneg al Hashem. That's Miss Aneg al Dina.
Isn't that, yeah, but that's isn't that bittle?
That's bittul could just be that your oineg is dissolved. Yeah, that could be like the eastern level of bittul. But when your bittul dissolve, when your oineg, so not when your bittul dissolves, when your oineg dissolves, then what's left is you're just apathetic. Yeah, which is a lot of the eastern literature that I've read. Whereas what we're talking about here is that your oineg is overwhelmed by his oineg yisburach. That means that Hashem is doing his mitzvahs through you. What are you? You're just and it's not just your goof, it's your emotions and your intellect as well. The ratzon is his ratzon, it's his oineg, his ratzon. And now your kalim, yeah, seichel, midas, and the levushim of Machshava Dibur Ma'aseh, they go along for the ride.
So since this is why,
that's what you said, is that's a kiddush Hashem. That's mamash a kiddush Hashem. When Hashem enters into his world at that point.
So what does it mean if your God is...
I become transparent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do his will so that he does your will.
Okay, so that's a good question. So the Mishnah says there...
what's that?
Well,
so yeah. That he'll do your will.
It says also make your will like his will.
Yeah, that's the
so
second
your level. Your will should be his will, so it automatically should be.
So it sounds like
the beginning. Yeah. Right. So it says, who hi Oymer? Who is this? Who's in my shoes? Wait a minute. It is. Rabbi Gamliel, Benoy Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so it's Rabbi Gamliel, Benoy Rabbi Yehuda. He says a whole bunch of stuff. And then at the end, he says, who are you, Oymer? I say with Soinaku, it's Soinecha. Make his ratzon like your ratzon. That's the lower level, meaning you're doing his ratzon like you would do your ratzon, which is the level that Kovi talks about for Lahavdil, like with your employees. When you, the best way that I've learned to deal with employees is where you make them feel that they have their own business within your business. So they start taking their job personally. In your business, if you can do that, and that I found the most helpful way of doing that is the three words: you're the boss. Say that to
ISOs.
What's that mean?
Independent sales operators.
That's
what my whole business model.
Yeah. So good. So that, but that really what we're saying is that they've got their own bit. The mashava is that they've got their own business. It just happens to exist within your business, and then they give it everything. Yeah. So that's that level, which is that's a madrega, that's mamash madrega, yeah. So that's asayin soinachu soinecha kadeshi asayin soinachu soinoi, and eventually, if you do that for long enough, he's gonna now your ratzon will become like his ratzon.
That's not what it says. That's the first. If you do that long enough, he'll do your ratzon.
That he will make your ratzon like his ratzon. Yeah, the Pasha Pshat is not like what I'm saying, but the way we're reading it right now is that so he will make your ratzon, meaning that you're in business for yourself, but it happens to be in context of his organization. Uh-huh. But if you do that for long enough, eventually you're going to start identifying with the organization and it will become like he made your ratzon like his ratzon. And then, batul et soinachem et pnei soinoi. Yeah, now listen to this modic. Your mevato, your ratzon before his ratzon, which is what we're talking about now, where his ratzon overwhelmed up with my daughter, and then why? Kadei shiavatel ratzon acherim mipnei ratzonecha. What does that mean? He'll be mevato ratzon acherim. What's acherim? Sisra achra, meaning the world. Before your ratzon, but you just said you're mavato your ratzon. So how can he say that? It doesn't make any sense. That you're mavato batel et soinachem et pnei ratzonoi, be mavato your ratzon against his ratzon is brach. Now where's your ratzon? It's gone. And then he says, so that he will be mavato the ratzon of others to your ratzon. But your ratzon just went away. No, you became godly. That's what we're talking about, exactly what we're talking about here. You became godly. So now what happens? Is the whole world bows to you. Why? Because they're not bowing to you, they're bowing to the Rabbeinu Shlolem. The Tzaddikim, the whole world bends to the Tzaddikim. Tzaddik Goyzer. The whole world bends to the Tzaddik. Why? Because it's not really bending to the Tzaddik, it's bending to Ratzon Hashem. Hashem is bending Ratzon Acherim to the to his Ratzon. It's now just you and him have become confused with each other.
It's an alignment.
Yeah, man, it's emerging.
Your ratzon as his ratzon. Once you do all those steps, your ratzon is Hashem's ratzon. There's no contradiction.
There is no your ratzon anymore. That's the whole point. That's why I said.
The second slav, I hear you. The first slav is still a little. It's just the introduction.
Exactly. That's the point. This is the first. You can't just go into that relationship with your daughter.
I mean, is he talking about in time? Is he talking about two different people? He's talking about consent.
It's a progression, meaning that you have to start. You have to start with. That's why Hillel says that Alayich Sani Lechaver Chloe Savid. It has to start from your sense of self. That's what we said. We saw in that the picture I uploaded was you have to become someone you can believe in, yeah. And now once you can believe in yourself, now you have to believe in yourself. Once you believe in yourself, now you can believe in other people. Once you believe in other people, now you can actually believe in the Rabbeinu Shlomo. The whole thing is predicated on your understanding the Yom and the Amma. Because why? A Russia is a NPC, NCP, and non-player.
Non-playable character.
Thank you, an NPC.
What?
Yeah, we won't say who said that. An NPC is a guy in the computer game who's part of the computer game, not you, not the one you're, not the avatar that you're in the computer game with. He's just a graphic. That's what a Russia is. A Russia, we'll talk about that on Sunday, Bezrat Hashem. A Russia is a guy, well, it's not really a guy. There's no person there.
He's also Ratzon Hashem. He's also Ratzon Hashem.
Exactly. Just he's being used, like, as opposed to he's become Ratzon Hashem by default, as opposed to like us, Bezrat Hashem, who we've chosen to be aligned with Ratzon Hashem. But that's we're getting back to the original whole thing, is that remember we mentioned Descartes about touching your Ratzon, that touching your Oineg is driving everything, because that is the fight. The fight of the Jew is between my reality and his reality. That's it. Who's more real to you? By the ultimate tzaddik, there is no other reality. There's Einod Milvadoi. That's what Moshe said. Einod Milvadoi. There's just Hashem's reality. There's Kalim. Yeah? That's not a separate thing, you know? That's not a separate thing. There's Kalim. Look, I see hands, and I have those emotions, and I understand there's a seichel here, but that's not mine. That's really the transition of coming, becoming, the transition to Yiddishkeit is a transition from, the first level is giving up ownership of everything. Yeah? Everything's hefker. Doesn't mean you give up responsibility for it, but it means you give up ownership, the idea that you own something. Then the ultimate level is you give up the idea of the part of you that can own something. The first madrega is I can own things, but everything that I own is yours, Rabbeinu Shlomo. That means there's me and you, and that's a very high madrega. But the madrega of the real tzaddik is that he gives up the part of him that's able to own stuff, meaning him, himself. So he doesn't see any duality in reality whatsoever. You with me? So you see Kalim walking around, it's like you see pictures on the screen, it doesn't mean there's anything more than the screen. That's the thing. These Kalim are just, that's a man who's Misaneg al Hashem. Like when I gave up my davening for my daughter who needed me to sit there, and I obviously have a nice relationship with my daughter, yeah, a real relationship with my daughter. That was like she inhabited my body, or she overwhelmed all my Kalim. And I went and I sat with her, and it wasn't just my body was there, I was speaking to her in the way that she needed to be spoken to. And I was feeling towards her in the way she needed to be feeling, the way she needed to have me feel towards her. Why? Because there wasn't me there. You know, I don't know on what level this was, but just to explain the point, there was her in, she had inhabited not just my goof, but my all of me. You with me? That's the tzaddik. That's the tzaddik. The seichel, the midas, and the levushim are all for the Rabbeinu Shloim. So what is there? There's just the Rabbeinu Shloim. I'm just like a cup. So that's going back to the Tanya. That is what the Tanya was saying over here. He was talking about the ultimate thing that we're giving back to the Rabbeinu Shloim. Remember we mentioned he spoke about all those different pleasures, and that's why Shabbos is so integral to Yiddishkeit. That's why Shabbos is a guy, he mentions later, that a mumah in Arayas, yeah, you can still eat his shechita. But a guy is mechal Shabbos, you can't eat his shechita. If he's over on avodah zarah, you also can't eat his shechita. But Arias, which you would give your life up for, yeah, that's of the Gimel Chamurim, Shvichas Damim, avodah zarah, and Gilui Arias, you give your life up for. Whereas you don't give up your life to not be Mechal Shabbos, yeah? Mrs. Nefesh, Pekuch Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos. But Gilya Raya, so guys over on Gilya Raya, you can eat his shechita, whereas by Shabbos, and we know Shabbos is the benchmark of Yiddishkeit. Are you Shomer Shabbos? I know someone very dear to me who's basically as close to being Shomer Shabbos as you can be, but he just can't go that next. He can't take that little jump to become Shomer Shabbos. Yeah? Why is Shabbos so intrinsic to Yiddishkeit? What is it you give to Hashem on Shabbos?
Yourself. Yeah.
Say it deeper. Say it more correct.
What's the question? What do you give?
Oineg. Shabbos is oineg. You miss aneg on Shabbos. The avoider of Shabbos is to give your oineg to the Rabbeinu Shloim.
I thought we were supposed to get oineg on Shabbos.
That's the...
Wait a second.
If that's the case, and you're mamayat your oineg in the week, that's it. That's the real... That's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants the yichud of reality, yeah? What's the one thing that's not miyached with his reality? One thing. Your oinig. That's the one thing that's not him. Everything else, and all the things that you're doing is just a manifestation of that. You with me?
The only thing that's not him is our oinig.
You're taking it for yourself.
If we're not Masaneg al Hashem, then it's our oneg.
Yeah, if you're a normal human being, mm-hmm. your oneg, which is the root of who you are, meaning that that's the cause of all the things that we're doing that aren't in line with Ratzon Hashem. But all of those things you're doing that are not in line with Ratzon Hashem are basically like a mace. They're just what's the life force of all those things.
But I could also be doing them.
Is your oneg?
But I could also be doing Ratzon Hashem for my oneg.
That's the point of a Yiddish. That's the point of our avoider. That's the exact point of our avoider. Is giving the oineg to Hashem. Now this idea, the idea of being misaneg on Hashem, meaning that your oineg gets mevatled by his oineg. That's the madrega of the tzaddikim gedolim. But the level before that, where your oineg becomes your oineg, is to serve him, that's what we're that's the first that's
okay,
what
we're
aiming
we're
for.
We're all at La Mesa
that level where
is,
we we're trying to
is,
get
is
it
where, is where we want to serve Hashem because we want oneg.
Yes,
that's not what you're talking.
And then the,
about.
And then the intelligent thing. Well, we're talking about everything. Then the intelligent thing is now you do the avoiders. Like for example, like I said with tefillah, like what's happened to me over these years now is my oneg is tefillah. I really enjoy davening shachris. Yeah, so now. That is Hashem, is that me being bottled to Hashem? No, I'm not on that madriga, but that's me having turned an oineg into his, as in that oineg is for him now.
What's
you realize?
The book answer that mitzvahs lav lehanas
netnu? Tim?
What's the book answer that mitzvahs lav lehanas netnu?
Well, that's exactly what we're saying.
Explain it.
Well, they're not for you. Why do you want to have pleasure in the mitzvah? It's not for your pleasure. It's that's what Hashem wants from us. It's the exact point.
You're saying that it sounds like he doesn't want us to have pleasure from the mitzvahs. He wants us to have pleasure from the mitzvahs?
No. It says the mitzvahs aren't given for your pleasure.
Even though there is
they're his pleasure. But now what my avoider is to do is to get pleasure from the mitzvah. That's the first stage, you understand? That my pleasure now has become not that it's been replaced by God's pleasure, but I've been makadosh it. Not that it's been bottled now, that not like with my daughter where she was just running the show through my goof. That's the level of a big tzaddik. But we have invested the energy. Like a good example is my investment of energy into shachris, yeah? I'm not an exceptional person, I don't think, in any way. And I just became an action. I decided that I'm going to mamash, spend at least 25 minutes every day on Pazuka de Zimra, and I'm going to try to not talk, and I'm not going to eat before, and I'm going to try and follow all the rules, yeah? And I did that many years ago. And I've been doing it in a stubborn way, like an ox for years and years now. And now for me, when I have to daven every now and again, it's rare, but if I have to daven very quick shachris, yeah, it feels icky, like I hate it, it's horrible. Or I literally, to daven in one of the shtibluch nowadays, I can't, I mean, I never do it because I daven where I daven. but it's very difficult. Like, really difficult for me because I get pleasure from it. But that's not a bad thing. That's being mekadesh my pleasure. You understand?
I get you can't pleasure from those shtiglochs that are going quick.
You get pleasure from that? That might be the pleasure of getting out of davening. That's not the pleasure of the tefillah. That's the pleasure of the fact that I got through tefillah so I can go and do what I need to do.
He didn't start davening the 25-minute psukim de zimra because you wanted pleasure. You davened 25 minutes because you wanted to do Ratzon Hashem.
Because it's the right thing.
Not because you were getting hanukkah from it.
Yeah, but that could be.
So that it started that your animal soul got on the vibe of that and started to chapana. Okay, so now you got to work on that. But fine. But you didn't start because I wanted a geschmack.
Well, it could be that I did. That wouldn't be a steer. This is the point, though. Let's say I get pleasure from davening. Yeah, it's not that Hashem overwhelms me and you're looking at this, you know, malach praying. It's not. I enjoy davening. I love thinking about the Bon Shalom. I love the poetry of the thing. I love the whole Seder of the Avoider. You know, I love shouting and whatever it is, yeah? I love Talas Tefillin, the whole thing, yeah? Now, that doesn't mean that I don't love cheeseburgers also. You with me? That's the difference between the tzaddik and me, is that even though I get pleasure from a lot of his mitzvahs, that doesn't mean that I also don't get pleasure from things that are neged Ratzon Hashem. But I'm a Beinoni, so I won't do them. You with me? It's not that there's no me anymore. Like when you meet a real tzaddik, like if you were to meet Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, there is no man there. That's a godly man. That's why Moshe had to put the thing over his face. You couldn't look at him. He was a godly man.
You know what I'm saying? Where does Kabbalah all come into?
This is the foundation of everything.
So the Kabbalah soul means I don't care about my geschmack. Kabbalah soul means this is my obligation. I have to do this. I don't care how it feels.
Let me ask you, how much energy are you going to end up putting into tefillah with that?
You see, if I'm putting in because I'm getting a geschmack, so then I'm not going to put in that much. Because I'm only going to get as much as I feel like I'm worthy of geschmack. And so it's going to be something like this, something like that. But if I say, I'm not doing this for my geschmack, I'm doing this because Hashem is creating me, he woke me up this morning, and he wants me to daven. So I'm doing it, I have to do it for them. So then I'll put in extra effort that I wouldn't put in because I don't care about myself.
That's a very heilige thing to do. And that's a very correct thing to do. And that... Oh, I just lost my head. That's a very, to approach davening like saying, I'm going to have an experience in tefillah. Why? I want to have an experience in tefillah. Why? Because that's the avoider of tefillah. That is the mitzvah of tefillah. There should be an experience. When you step into Shemona Esrei, yeah, you should have, if you put in the due diligence and the energy until Shemona Esrei, yeah, you should be bowing down to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You should really, that you're meant to feel that. You're meant to feel that. Why? Because that's what he wants. That's a chelik of the mitzvah. You understand? A chelik of davening is the experience. But you're not doing it for the experience. This is the point. This is already a chelik. This is the kind of level that we can access now because we're so sick of ourselves. We've been investing in ourselves. If you come from America or England or wherever we come from, yeah? Over the past, I mean, it went psycho over the past 20 years, yeah? Push it crazy over the past 20 years. The self, the pleasures available in the world now. And they're going further and further with, like, trying to make it more and more, they're trying to make it more and more like, that everything is just so, taking everything to the nth level of pleasure. And now we're in a really strong position. Now that we've had all the pleasures of the world, like, okay, how much bigger does the boat get? Yeah, or how much higher does the parachute jump go? Or how much more sugar can you stuff into that much? You know what I'm saying? And then all the tivers on the internet, I don't know about the people with the things that people watch online, Chas v'Shalom, Rahman al-Islam, and it goes deeper and deeper. That's everyone, all the psychologists talk about. It just goes down and down and down. It's not like people just stop at the, you know, at the filth. That's not how it works, yeah? Why? But you, if you use your brain a little bit, you're like, what is this? I've gotten over pleasure. It's like rich people, like we said before, rich people know that money is adkan. Poor people don't know that because they haven't got money, but rich people got money. They know that money just takes you this far. And all my real issues, money isn't helping me. In fact, in a lot of cases, money is exacerbating the problem. That's a side point. But because a person has money, you know, he knows, he might not say it, but deep down he knows that it's not about money. Money can't buy you anything valuable. That's ironic. That's a good quote. Money can't buy you anything valuable. Everyone wants relationships, real relationships. They want to feel that they're doing something. They want to feel that they're effective, that they're living with purpose. They want to, all the things. The money doesn't do that for you. So you're not doing, we're in that position now, like you just said, that I'm not davening so that I have the geschmack, because that's what annoys me so much about these seminars, which is all about the experience. It drives me mad because it's like, it sounds so correct, but when you think about it for a minute, it's like you're sitting on a treasure chest and you're like, you're not aware of the fact that you are now, we, all of us in this room, I'm absolutely sure all of us in this room now are ready to ascend our own pleasure. We've had more pleasure. We probably had more pleasure this week so far than our great grandparents had in their entire lives. Look, open the pantry in my house. Yeah, they would get an orange or an apple, and they'd like treasure it for weeks until it started getting a little bit schwach, and then they'd start to eat it because, you know what I'm saying? It was sitting. I mean, you know, when it's raining, they would. Imagine, like, you know, we just take for granted the fact that we've got roads not made of mud. Yeah, imagine 150 years ago, the roads are all made of mud, it pours down with rain. Imagine what you would look like. You walk into your house, it's not like you've got a lovely radiator, you've got a fire. Yeah, you're coughing your guts out. What'd you do? You're like, you're wet, you've got no other clothes as well because they're all wet and soiled. You can't do the washing. Like, imagine what kind of psoas life was like in the winter, just stamazoi. Forget not having pleasure, the source of life, of just running in this world without concrete, or without hashmal, without running water. Like, what happens when your washing machine packs up? It's like you turn around to your wife, like, okay, so I'll see you down the river. I'll drive you down to the stream. I'll pick you up 8 hours later.
That'll be terrible now. But then that was normal.
That was normal. Yeah, but they were used to cracks and stuff in their skin. That, they were used to the, I'm saying, the pleasure that we're used to now. Like, imagine sitting in a room that isn't at a decent temperature. Could you? You know, that wouldn't last for too long. There would be an uproar. People would go on strike.
Imagine there was a drought.
Imagine, yeah, it's a bit cold. So you've got some guy there like looking really angry, like, I'm a bit cold, you know. It's like, in the old days, it was like, are you dead yet? No, so shut up and listen. Like Hillel, he got froze on the top of the thing. It's just a passionate thing. So you've got certain people who are out there talking about the pleasure, the thing, and it's like, again, you need this. You do need this on a certain level. But that's not what we're aiming for.
Well, isn't
now
that the whole paradigm shift of the Tanya? That it's not about serving God better. It's about totally shifting from this being about me, and this being about
you,
not me.
Yes, it's the difference. Like you said, it's the difference between me bringing my father the slippers and the new mindset of it's about my father having the slippers. And don't forget, that's now Achdus Hashem, because if I just care about my dad having the slippers, then it's irrelevant whether I bring them to him or you bring them to him. Whereas if it's about me bringing my father the slippers and you bring him the slippers, that's a little difficult. That's maybe the reason why by the Kivrei Tzadikim, we wear talus, tefillin, kriyas haTorah, everything, yeah? And you go to a regular base of kavaras and you have to tuck in your tzitzis. Why? Because the regular base of kavaras is full of beinoinim who are serving Hashem. You know, in the worst case scenario, they're serving Hashem because they want to serve Hashem. So then when they see you with your tzitzis, that's hard for them. Whereas when you're by a tzaddik, He's like, bring it on, Talos, Tefillin, Kriyas HaTorah. I just want Hashem to be served. It's just a remez to the Inyan. The tzaddikim, it's not about them serving Hashem bichlal. Like we said, if you plug everything in what we've spoken about, because there is no them, there's just the tainug ilah, whatever you want to call it, yeah? The mis'aneg al Hashem, that replaces their whole system, and the motivation now becomes the Rabbeinu Shlom doing his own mitzvahs in his world. You with me? So that's Shabbos. Just to get back to the point, we'll finish off. Is that Shabbos? Is the giving a korban of Hashem? What's your korban that you're giving to Hashem? Is your oineg? That's the korban of Hashem. Not that you're now. How do you do that? Because when you actually enjoy the chocolate cake, you can't see. I always thought that the eating the chocolate cake on Shabbos again should look like the guy with having the experience. Yeah, and it always used to annoy me that I'm eating a chocolate cake and I'm like trying to like you know how you've seen the tzaddikim do it. Yeah, and you're like thinking And eventually you're just like, shut up, man. Just eat the chocolate, enjoy the chocolate, Shabbos, yeah? And then you realize that's what Hashem wants. What's the key? The key is, you're not going to like this, maybe. The key is to try and not eat the chocolate cake in the week. Meaning you are enjoying it, but I'm saying to Hashem, listen, I'm not able to ascend my oineg, meaning I'm eating this and I'm tuck it enjoying this and make it more chocolatey and I'll enjoy it more. But what I can do to you is say that I'm not going to touch that part. I'm going to try and avoid that part myself, except for on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Isn't there like a whole Indian of eating leftovers from Shabbos during the week? Like
also, yeah, that's it. There you go. It's the point. It's leftovers. That's what my daughter said to me this week. She said, the Bochrim eat Sholem Thursday night, Friday night, and Shabbos day. And the Tatas eat Chilem on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. But this is so now it comes out. And this is for me, when I learned this, I can't remember having more simple than anything I learned in Yiddishkeit. Is we all overeat on Shabbos, yeah? Everyone overeats on Shabbos, and you hate yourself for it. Everyone hates themselves for overeating on Shabbos.
I don't hate myself. I hate my neshama yisera. It's an easy one. I'm perfect, eh?
What's the tragedy of overeating on Shabbos? See, I always felt that I was, look at me. I was trying to do it with the kavanas, and I'm doing this with Hashem. But if I'm overeating, then obviously I'm not misaneg al Hashem. This is all about me, yeah? So I felt all chalisha sadas, and I'm just a big fat behemoth, basically, yeah? No. The problem with overeating on Shabbos is it's a meat of your oineg. You feel horrible. You are memai at your oineg. Don't eat so much. What's the best? So you get an extra 5 seconds of sweet taste in your mouth, and then for the next 2 hours you're sweaty, you sleep too much, you feel anxious and annoyed, and you just will mite your own egg. That's the problem with overeating on Shabbos. You with me? It's very pashut. It's not the game. Is not this. It's not. It's a sim. It's really a simple game, and that was what. So we didn't really get to the eighth chapter, but that was really what I wanted to bring home from the seventh parak, is that what we are trying to offer to Rabbeinu Shlom, although the whole world goes up and we're giving the plastic and we're giving the wood and we're giving the wet and we're giving the payrus and we're giving all of this stuff to Hashem when we're being over to Hashem, it's all going up, avadai, 100%, givoldik. But the ikka thing that we're trying to give to Rabbeinu Shlom is our oinik. And that's what he says, ka'oila uka korban. Why say the two lashonas that you're giving? He says the bas on the yayin that comes from klipas noiga and it goes up to Hashem, ka'oila uka korban. Why the double lashon? Say it's an oila, it's a korban. Because the oila is the inyan of the tzaddikim, which is less choshev. It's just, that's ma'elav. There's no me there, bichlal. The korban is when you eat from the korban and you're giving Hashem, not the bosser of the, that's a secondary aliyah, the bosser of the behema. The ikka aliyah is your oineg that you're giving to the Rabbeinu Shlom. Why? Because you're eating nice food in context of his ratzon. Shkoyach. That was it. We should be zeichet to give our Watson and our way neck to the Boy Shabbos.
You say you don't gain weight on Shabbos. You get fat.
I had. Yeah, that's interesting.